this special extended podcast for the complete service for Sunday, the 27th of September. Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes. We've also now added a complete video recording of the service, which you can access by visiting the sermon section of our website and selecting the date of the service you want to watch. This began on Sunday, the 3rd of May.
Thank you. Goodbye. Bid our anxious fear, all our anxious fear, goodbye.
Hello, welcome. Welcome to our morning worship here at St. Peter's Church. My name's Ned, for those of you who don't know me. I'm the vicar here. You are most welcome. In preparation for the service, you should have been directed to the website to download and maybe print off the service sheet for today, which will just give you a sense of where we're headed in the structure of today. It'll also give you words for the songs and for the liturgy, most importantly. Song words will be, as you've just seen on the screen, but the liturgy won't be, so you may want to have that open in front of you, or printed off, as I said. There isn't any practical things that we need for the activity, because we're going to be doing some listening today and some looking. If there are children around, there will be things for them to engage with, but not the whole thing. So try and keep them close by. If not, or if the children are just, you know, wanting to run around and or do their own thing, that's absolutely fine. You may want to take some of the activities and exercises that I suggest you and I act out. You might want to take them into your day to encourage the children to engage, to carry on engaging in faith. So do take that as a gift from me to you. We're going to turn, as we begin our service, to the service sheet with the liturgy, a familiar liturgy. You may know this off by heart if you've been with us for a longer time. We have come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. So we're going to pause just as we begin and we enter into this time of worship, just to invite the Holy Spirit to dwell with us. Invite him to enter into our homes or wherever we find ourselves. Invite him to be with us and to share with us with as we open with expectation our hearts to receive from him all that he would like to give to us, like to speak to us about and teach us. As God's people, we have gathered. We come as we are. We will leave changed by the love of God. We are joining with our brothers and sisters in Christ as they meet at this time, at this moment in the church. And this is pre-recorded. So you may be using the comments section. Please do use the comments section to say hello to one another, to share thoughts and ideas, reflections, to help each other and guide each other through the service. Do use the comment section. I won't be responding to those because this is being pre-recorded. But do continue to build relationships with one another live as you are on this service. And this is the last of our online services from St. Peter's. We will be now transitioning from next week into our online joint mission partnership service, which will be very similar, be pre-recorded. There'll be songs, there'll be sermon and Bible reading and prayers that you can engage in. So you'll see less of my face, more of some other people's faces. You'll be hearing some different voices from across the mission partnership. And therefore, I hope, we are hoping that there's a sense in which there's a community wider than just our individual churches, a sense of other Christians worshipping and praying in this area. So we'll be transitioning into that. I will still be producing over the weeks short videos, which gives notices and information about St. Peter's Church and some, at some points, some children's activities that you may want to take on if that's helpful for you, if you've got people in your family who are younger and need to be encouraged to continue to engage in faith. So be watching out for that. We're going to begin with our Bible reading, our gospel reading. I've got two readings today. Our gospel reading is from Matthew's gospel, chapter 13, starting at verse 13. This might be a time just to bring children, if they are willing and able, just to gather them around to hear this reading. So do call them and then we can read it through so that they know what I'm sort of talking about. Or as I say, later on, you may want to read them this passage and have the conversation with them then. So Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 13. "The reason I speak to them in parables," Jesus said, "is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Bible reading, talking about our eyes and our ears and our hearts, about seeing but not really understanding, listening but not quite hearing what's being said. And Jesus is talking about people who've shut their eyes, who've put their fingers in their ears of what Jesus is saying to them. They're not quite understanding what it is that he is doing with his life. And so therefore they're not able to understand who he is and what he is offering them, therefore they can't receive it. And he says, blessed are our eyes and our ears, because we, as believers in Jesus, can see who he is, and we can hear his voice and know what he's saying to us. Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we hear the Bible being read, we hear the words of Jesus, and we don't really understand, and we don't really fully grasp it. Or maybe we look at the church as a family of believers in Jesus, and they're not really doing what we expect them to do, and we don't quite understand all of those things. Maybe they are people who have seen but don't understand. Well, it's always good each week or each day at any opportunity just to admit to the Lord that we do find it difficult to see him and to know who he is and to fully understand what that means for us. To believe, what does it mean for Jesus to be our Lord, our King? What does that mean? Maybe we don't understand that. And so this is where we come to our confession. We just say to God, "Do you know, this is really hard. Help me. I don't understand. I've not really listened, and I've not really paid attention, and I've not really fully grasped it. Help me." That's what a confession is. So we're going to do our confession now. The words are on the service sheet, so if you've got that in front of you, then you can join in with the words in bold. Our hearts can grow dull. Our ears are hard of hearing. And we can shut our eyes to your truth. So we pray together. Forgive us when we listen but fail to understand, when we look but cannot perceive. We turn back to you and ask for you to heal us. So may Almighty God have mercy upon you, forgive you your sins, and lead you to everlasting life. Amen. Some of you might know what TikTok is. I am relatively new to TikTok, but it's usually song songs are played and people do dance moves to them and record them and share them with one another. But there are also other ways in which to use TikTok. And one of the things that has come out, which I've seen on a couple of social media things people sharing, is this particular meme or kind of TikTok video, which is being asked that you go to someone and you do the following. I'll show it to you in a moment. So I see what you think about this. Let me put this on.
Put it on your chain. Jay.
Bro, what are you like? You keep doing the
Take
same thing.
This.
This was doing this before the recording. You keep saying the same thing.
Listen closely, please. Listen closely.
How could you make me bad?
So, just listen closely. Take this, put it on your chin. Listen, take this.
I don't get what I'm supposed to do. I'm not about
listen,
to,
wait, listen to closely. It. Listen. Take this, put it on your chin.
I don't get it.
Put it on your chin.
What is it?
Put this on your chin.
Put it
on your chin. Is right.
What I like about that video, in fact, you can try that. Do prank someone and try and get them to do it. The thing I like about that video is that you're watching it and you know, because you're listening, You know what they should be doing. They should be doing that, but instead, because they're watching as well, and it's that strange thing of being able to kind of go, putting ourselves into, in that case, the boy's position of just not understanding. Someone just keeps saying something over and over and over again, and you can go, I don't get it. Maybe as children, we've heard our parents repeat over and over again, and they're getting really frustrated. You're not listening to me. And they're going, I don't understand what you're saying. You know, get that frustration in. But imagine also being in the mother's position in that video, of how frustrating it is when you say things, but people aren't listening to you. And maybe, again, you've been speaking to your parents and they sort of go, yes, I understand. But they've not really listened to what's going on, that they assume that they know what's going on. We do it with each other all the time. As human beings, don't we? When we're talking to someone, we've often been in those situations where we've said things and the person just isn't understanding us. And having that that difficulty of communication is quite a frustrating thing. So what do we do? Well, often it's about just pausing and taking it one step at a time. So often we're in such a rush. The world tells us that we've got to get stuff done and we've just got to say it. And, you know, and part of the frustration is, I just need you to do it now. Just do it now. And we don't just pause and go, it's really important that they listen to me. How often have we been held by our parents to say, OK, slow down. I need you to read my lips. I need you to listen. Don't assume you know what I'm about to say. Just listen to me. I have lots of God children, children who I love spending time with and who like to be around me. But in the excitement of play and everything, they can get quite wound up and maybe even quite upset. And they come and they go, ah! And they're in such turmoil in their lives. And I say to them, you know, call their name. For example, I've got, you know, Isaac, stop, slow down, stop. And he's just, and he's, ah! And I have to physically grab him, hold him and go, and calm, breathe, look at me, come on. And it takes so long to coax him, to invite him just to look and to be with me, to read my lips and to really take in what I'm saying. So often we're in such a rush to know what to do and to get on with life. The world just is spinning at such a fast pace. And I just feel that frustration of the Lord to say, just pause, stop, look at me, listen. Don't run off. Don't think that you know what I'm about to say. Just listen to exactly what I'm saying. That you have ears, use them. You have eyes, use them. Stop trying to do lots of things. When I talk quite a lot about vocation, which is a big word for calling, what we should be doing, I often say that the Lord just points to the next step, and we often just take that step and go, oh, great, I know the route from here. I'll take it from here. Thanks, Jesus. Thank you. And we leave him behind. Actually, it's just like, I'm just told you to take this step. I didn't tell you to do the four or five steps into the thing. I've just asked you to do one thing. Why are you doing something else? So the first thing I want to encourage us to do is just to stop and slow our lives down. To really take the time to listen. To listen to God and to listen to one another. To look and to watch. To be what's called attentive, you know. When you're eager and things are moving really slowly, you have to watch every moment of it. Have a curiosity about the world. Be interested in what God is doing. And be expectant. Be eager. You know, the Lord is moving. Where might we see him? I wonder if you've ever played hide and seek. God, I often talk about my relationship with God as a game of hide and seek. And when you play hide and seek, you rush around trying to find the thing. And you know, if you don't find them in that first, you know, speedy search, you can get disheartened. You can go, oh, they've gone, they've disappeared. And the same could be true of God. But the best thing to do when you can't find someone in a game of hide and seek is to stop and to listen. To stop the movement and just listen for any movement. It might be really subtle. Just listen out for that. That in our keenness to get stuff done and to achieve and to find the person and to have a relationship, we can often miss out on the little hints that happen if we just pause and listen. I encourage you to do that this week with God. But sometimes we look and we look and we're really attentive and we try to really be aware of what's going on. We really try to listen. And even then we don't get it. Even then we miss out on it because maybe we're looking in the wrong place for God or we're listening to the wrong thing. Sometimes we think that we're doing what God is asking us to do. Sometimes like we do with our parents, sometimes we think we're doing what we're being asked to do. And then we're confused when they say, that's not what I asked you to do. And you're like, I'm sure that is what you asked me to do. And it was something really subtle. We were listening for the wrong thing. Again, some of you may have seen this video. It's an awareness test. So they're asking us to be perceptive, to really watch and to do as we are told.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
It was a bit of a trick, really, wasn't it? Because you weren't asked, actually, to look out for the moonwalking bear. And maybe you didn't see it, even the second time through. Do watch it and look out. It comes in from one screen and out the other side. The thing about that awareness test and that moonwalking bear is that once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. I knew that the bear was coming. And from now on, I tried to watch it. As if watching it for the first time, but I couldn't unsee the moonwalking bear. And it's the same with Jesus. Once we've seen him, it's hard to not see him. Once we've heard him, it's hard to not hear him. There's a sense in which Jesus is saying to his disciples, blessed are you, because your eyes have now seen and your ears have now heard. And it's we are blessed when we suddenly see Jesus and hear Jesus. These are the things that we need to be looking out for and using one another to help each other, to point out where God is at work, to hear what God is saying deep underneath his scriptures and through his spirit. A little later on during our intercessions, we're going to be doing some listening and some listening to God. So get ready for that. We're going to sing a worship song now, which asks and invites God to help us to open our eyes to see him, because we do want to see him. So let us worship God together.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Acts chapter 28, verses 23 to 31. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen." For 2 whole years Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Steve. If the children are still around, then they're more than welcome to stay, but I'm going to be talking mainly to the adults now so they can be released if they would like to be, to whatever they want to do. I will be calling them back later, as I said, for the intercession, so don't go too far, children, if you've run off. This year, I have challenged myself, beginning of the year, I challenged myself to read 52 new books that I haven't read before, and to watch 104 new films. This was prior to the cinemas closing and new releases being stopped, but still, I've tried to keep up as much as possible. I'm a bit behind on films. But it's meant that I've been going back through things like Netflix and Amazon Prime and other video streaming services. There are lots available. And I've been finding myself watching quite a few historical biopics, you know, stories that are based on real life events. They're quite popular at the moment. And I've just realised how many films are based on true stories, or, you know, that there's a sense in which new stories with new characters are actually quite hard to come by. They're either remakes or they're about historical figures. What's interesting about these films of historical figures is just how much they stay true to the history of it. We're in a strange time, or at least I think it's strange, a strange culture where we really want to reframe history, where we look back at historical things and sort of bring them into our time so that we can understand them. And for me, I think there's a slight danger to doing that. Now, obviously, human beings often do that. You know, when Bede is writing his stories of his saints, it's that sense in which he's trying to make the lives of the saints relevant to modern day. So therefore, we have to frame it in ways which we could understand those lives. But if we just do that, if that's all we do, we can quite often start to accidentally rewrite history and project on or judge history and historical figures by a standard which would not make any sense to them whatsoever. There is a sense, there is an arrogance of our time at the moment where we have this sense from the Enlightenment period of just being people of progress, that we're always getting better. Well, just a vague look around the world at the moment, a vague look back at the 20th century and the 19th century to say, actually, I don't think that's necessarily true, that we're not just progressing and getting better. There have been ups and downs in history of progress and digress, you know, going backwards. All of these sorts of things means that we have to be very careful when we handle historical material. And no more so than things like the Gospels and Acts of the Apostles. We've been journeying through Acts of the Apostles and all the time trying to place ourselves into the story, to understand why the early church did what they did, how it must have felt for them. But sometimes we've struggled to know whether or not we are bringing them into our time or if we're putting ourselves into their time. And there needs to be a bit of both, but I think primarily we need to be putting ourselves into that point in history and understanding it. It's why I have great respect for someone like Tom Wright, a biblical scholar. This is his big driving force, that whenever he teaches pastorally and preaches, he's often asking us to step into that world, to say, we don't understand that world and we need to do the work to understand what's going on. Luke's gospel and his sequel, as it were, Acts of the Apostles, is vivid with imaginative stories. He really paints pictures of these various characters that have come in and have swept through. We've journeyed so much trying to think back over all the sermons that we've heard over the year and a half that we've been following the story along. And we invest in these really vivid cityscapes of first century Judea, Caesarea, the Greco-Roman world, and now as we get to the end, to Rome, the sort of pinnacle of it. And we've met so many people who are vivid, and we've listened into their interactions to try and understand why it is that they performed and they acted in certain ways. Some things that have surprised us, actually, were not probably that surprising. And Luke doesn't really spend much time on them. So we're confused. And we're like, well, why didn't Luke tell us more about that? He's probably ashamed of it or something like that. Well, actually, no, there's just our lifestyle that we project onto the scriptures. We have to be very careful about that, as we should be with all of history. As well as watching new films, I've also been introducing Philippa, my fiancée, to some films. Films that mean something to me. We've been sharing this sort of trying to get to know one another, the things that we value and where they've come from. So I showed her The Goonies, a classic film from the 1980s, a film that I loved watching. It's one of many films that my family had on the old VHS. Yes, I'm sort of VHS child. My mum used to record them on VHS tapes from the TV, if they were shown on the TV. And she had a list of VHS, and she'd number the VHS tape with all the TV programmes or films that were on it, so that, you know, she knew where to find certain programmes. And then sometimes she'd record over them, so she would get the VHS to a particular point and then record and set the video recording, and would rob out and, you know, read it. Anyway, there were some film, some VHSs which had a series of films on which Mum was not allowed to record over because they were very special films, The Goonies being one of them, Teen Wolf being another, do you remember that? Cocoon, all of these great 80s films were on the VHS, and it was like, don't record over them. Anyway, watching The Goonies back in the 80s, well, actually for me, the early 90s, watching The Goonies, it was just great. It was fun to watch, and it was a great story, a great adventure story of children finding treasure, buried treasure in a big one-eyed Willy's big ship, and all the danger that comes along with that, with booby traps. It's like Indiana Jones, but with children. It was great. I watched it recently with Bess and Tom and Joe Gledel and some others in a cave, out in the Peaks. What's it? Oh, I can't remember what it's called now. Anyway, near Mam Tor, you'll know the cavern. Anyway, we watched it in this cave, this dripping cave, and it was a great setting because The Goonies is sort of set in a cave and in a cavern. And I remember watching it, and at the end of it, Tom, who was sat next to me, Tom Popwell, turned to me and went, I'm quite satisfied that there wasn't ever a sequel. We're so used to now having fun at the films and, you know, it being quite successful, that there's always this push to have a sequel or even to have a trilogy. And actually, The Goonies is a great film. It finishes, and at the end of the film, there's a sense in which you want to spend more time with them. That's why sequels happen, because you're going to go, we want to know what happens with these characters. We want to spend more time in this world that we've created. But some films just are better just being in and of themselves. And we have that sense at the end of, for I do, at the end of the Goonies, for example, of going, what happens next? Oh, I want to spend more time here. I want to be with these people and to learn and to explore the world a bit more and see more of this world. Well, Acts of the Apostles finishes in a similar way. It's quite right that as we get to the Acts of the Apostles, us spending so much time in this world, of going, what happens next? Well, like good biopics, we can find out. We can discover what happens next. I often finish these biopics that I've been watching over the year, and I have either Wikipedia or I'm searching online. Oh, what happened to that person? Ooh, what really happened there? And, you know, at the end of it, they often give the sort of, and this is what happens next, and it was all a very quick summary of, you know, after this big event in their life, oh, and then they lived happily ever after, or, you know, then they did this, X, Y, and Z. I like to read up on it and discover more of that person. Well, we can do the same with Acts of the Apostles, because it finishes with a sense in which, with those sorts of those statements, it's like the screen goes black on the film of Acts of the Apostles, and then it says, Paul lived in Rome for 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and reaching and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The end credits roll. And you're like going, what? Well, can we hear about those 2 years? That would have been interesting. I'd like to have seen that, listened into those conversations, because, you know, I'm not entirely sure I've understood fully. Well, what happens next is sort of unknown. We sort of assume that Paul stood before Caesar. The reason that we assume that is because Luke, who knew the story and had met Paul and was with Paul, as we've seen through Acts of the Apostles, he indicates that the Spirit of Jesus says that he's going to. We don't have, you know, historical proof that he did, but we assume that that is, because otherwise Luke wouldn't have said it. Luke doesn't want to put into Jesus's mouth false prophecy. You know, if he never ended up doing that, then it would seem like, well, what he's saying is Jesus doesn't always tell the truth, which shouldn't be true, can't be true. You know, he wouldn't have written it. He had the choice. You know, if Jesus says something and then it didn't quite happen the way we assume, oh, well, I didn't really hear it correctly, so I'm not going to say that Jesus said that, because obviously he didn't, because it didn't happen. So we assume Paul stood before Caesar, although there's no exact proof of that. But there's difference of opinions about when Acts of the Apostles is written. Most people assume that it's like 20 years later, after Paul had died, Luke wrote down everything so that people could learn it, and the early church could repeat and to learn from the first generation of Christians. But there is some argument to be had to say that Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles to give to Caesar, to be the proof, to be the witness of Paul's life and of the early church, of what this new movement is all about, to show throughout, you know, the impact that it has on lots of different types of people. This gathering together of multicultural, multi-generational community known as the early church. But I think it would be wrong of us to assume that Acts of the Apostles is about Paul, or about Luke, or about Peter, or about the Christians. It is, as Luke sets out at the beginning of Acts, at the end of his gospel, at the beginning of his gospel, this is the story of Jesus. That Jesus is born at the beginning of Luke's gospel. Jesus walks through the world, is dwelling amongst us, calling in and proclaiming this kingdom, establishing it on earth, saying the plan that God could come and dwell with his people is being made true, is becoming a reality with Jesus. And when Jesus dies and is raised from the dead, he comes back and he says, the work is still going on, and now I'm giving you, my disciples, the Holy Spirit, to continue the work. I will be with you. I will journey with you by the Spirit so that you can continue to do this work. I will be doing it through you and my Spirit. And that is what Acts of the Apostles is all about. It's about this Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is being proclaimed. That this work that he began, it wasn't completed on the cross. It continues through his resurrection, through his ascension, through the early church, and therefore throughout history from then on. That is the next bit of the story. We are the sequel. We are the final trilogy. Luke's Gospel, Acts of the Apostles. The third film is not a disappointment. It is the rest of history seen through this lens of Jesus Christ. And it is through this lens of Jesus Christ that we see and we understand, that we hear and we know what it is that the world is created to be and to do, what we are created to be and to do. And that is to be temple makers. To be places where heaven and earth meet, where God dwells with his people. That is our job. But before this two-year ending, we have this strange repeat as we had in our gospel reading of the people not listening and not seeing and not understanding. We have the same task as we face our world, that there are still people who cannot hear and cannot see. And the reason that they cannot hear and they cannot see is not because they're stupid or they're arrogant, although there may be elements of that, but aren't we all that in some way? But it's because their minds are caught up with a different thing, a different set of values. I've been reflecting quite a lot over the last few weeks about idolatry and about my own idolatry, the things that I give value to, and that ensnare me. Idols aren't just, you know, figurines and statues. There are lots of things that can become idols in our life. It's the things that we look to and look through to understand our world. Philosophies, those can be idolatrous. You know, the word ideology is from the same root. It's a sense in which it is something which grabs hold of us and ensnares us. We have to be careful of that. Political, philosophical, even theological. We have to be careful that what we are worshipping is not a set of doctrines and dogmas which are not of the Lord. To worship them, to worship other human beings, celebrity culture, or even money, or a way of life. I think our Western culture is steering very much away from its roots and is proclaiming and saying something that is just assumed to be true and gives moral value to things which we as Christians should be careful about. It's why I'm very concerned at the moment about the conversation about shame and guilt and the place of shame and guilt within our lives, of how quickly we are made to feel guilty by our world and our culture. That it is this tool of guilt and shame to make us subservient to a way of life which we may disagree with. The Christian message is about being healed from that, of being forgiven, of being released from the crushing guilt and shame that we might feel, that are projected onto us, that are given to us. So often anxiety is passed from one to the other. Anxiety is so contagious, and as I've said before, that we take it upon ourselves because that is what the world does. It's the way of life. Well, we are here to say that that's not true, that we can be set free. At the end of that Isaiah passage, Isaiah 6, which we heard both in the Gospel reading and Acts of the Apostles, it concludes with that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. I've said many, many times, this healing is the root word for salvation. Salvation has been repeated again and again throughout the last chapters of Acts of the Apostles. I encourage you to go back and read the final chapters of Acts of the Apostles and note how often salvation is talked about. This healing, this restoration, this bringing back to how we are meant to be. This is the program of the kingdom of God, to heal us and restore us. That I think that the current culture that we live in, just as it was in Paul's time, but for different reasons, that there are things about the world which just have caught people. And in their hurt and their woundedness, they share that with others, that contagion of the wound. And we have to be healed of it. We need to take it to the physician and to be healed. This is what Paul is proclaiming. But people don't want to be healed. Or they're scared of the healing. They're scared and fearful of what that might look like, the things that they might need to give up, because they're so addicted to certain things, addicted to a way of life, addicted to behaviours, addicted to anger and the blame culture, the shame culture that we're in. We're addicted to this response of the urgency of the world, that we're constantly, we value success over and above forgiveness, to the point at which none of us are able to admit when we've got things wrong, in order to open up forgiveness, because we don't know. We want to be successful because that is what's important in this world, to be successful, to be achieving, to do things at great speed, to be a person who's there immediately and is responding immediately. We don't have any time. You know, if you wait, then you are condoning the violence. If you don't immediately jump on it and say, you know, I stand for this. And we can project so much of that into our spiritual life, and to say, this is what God wants us to do. We have to be very careful, constantly bringing these idols, constantly asking God, am I hearing you correctly, or am I hearing the world that seems to shout louder than you? And so what happens next in the Acts of the Apostles? Well, the early church passes on to the next generation through the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we hear from our predecessors, we should teach and pass on to the next generation. We shouldn't rewrite history. This is why Luke has written Luke's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. He wrote it so that we would know. But as we've got further and further away from that time and that culture, we need to do the work of stepping back, of understanding what is at the heart of it, because I don't think it is the same values that we have in our Western world, despite it being a predominantly Christian-based culture. I think it's been distorted, and it needs healing, and it needs salvation again and again. And we are asked, beginning with ourselves, to proclaim that truth in all the world. And we should do so with all boldness and without hindrance. So let us be set free and be given the spirit of boldness to proclaim afresh the revolutionary political message of Jesus in a culture that is desperate to hear it. Let's worship.
Thy Christ to the heart.
We're going to turn now to our intercessions. So if you want to invite children back, then that'd be great. I'm going to run us through some listening prayer, which, you know, I just assume everyone knows how to do. But maybe this is going to be insightful for you to try and listen to the Lord, to listen for his voice and not just the voice of the world around us. So we're going to be quiet for a bit. I'm going to guide us through in a way which children can do as well. So do encourage them to come. Or you might want to do this at some other point, you know, at night time perhaps, or at different points in the day. I'm going to warn you now, as we go quiet, that currently around my house and around the church, the grass is finally getting cut. So there's someone with a strimmer. So it may get quite loud. I apologise that in advance, but because I'm recording this live, you know, it's just coincided in that time. So I do apologise for the strimming sound that's in the background. That may be distracting for a listening activity, but we'll do our best. And you may want to repeat it when you can be more quiet. So, I invite us all just to get comfortable, to wherever we're sat, just to get comfortable, so that we're not distracted by, you know, how we're sitting and the uncomfortableness of that. As much as possible, get into a comfortable position. Prayer is a conversation with God. So often we take that conversation and hog all the conversation ourselves, talking to him about what we need and what we're concerned about. And God loves to listen to us in that. I don't want to stop us from doing that. But he also has things to say. And so we're going to try and work out a way in which we can maybe balance the conversation a bit. So when we want to listen to God, particularly when we're anxious and we've maybe waffled a whole load of stuff in prayer, and we kind of say, right, God, it's your turn now. If we have time, we often just talk it through and go, well, that's the time. I've got to go now. Bye, God. And we didn't actually say, God, what did you think about all of that? This is a way in which we can listen. So get comfortable, and I invite you to close your eyes so that you're not really distracted. Or if you struggle with having your eyes closed, find something to focus your attention on, a picture, an image, a candle, a cross, whatever it is. But to focus on it and to give all your attention to it so that you're not distracted by all the things in the room or going on, or the movement that's going on. So as you, I'm going to close my eyes. So, but I'll carry on talking and guiding us through as we do this listening prayer activity. The first thing to do as we get into a place of stillness and quiet is to note the things that are going to distract us. It's often things that we would much rather be doing, or that are enticing us. An activity that you kind of suddenly go, oh, I forgot to do X, Y, and Z. Unless it's an emergency, like you've left the gas on or something. Just sort of note it. Just acknowledge that that is something that needs to be done. But right now, you're giving attention to God. Like a dear friend in need. If they came over and we want to give them attention, we want to give them value, we would let things just kind of go, oh, I'll do that later. So just allow those things to come into our mind, whatever they are. You may want to speak them out. If someone else is there with you praying, you might want to say, oh, yes, I must remember to do that. And as you sort of step back from the things of this world, things of our life, it's also helpful, I find, particularly if you've got your eyes closed, to imagine yourself in a place, in a secluded place, a place where there will be no distractions, to go into your memory banks, to a place where actually none of those things were pressured into you, we were not pushing or asking for their attention. It might be a place where you've been on holiday, where you've just sat and you've gone, I wish this could last forever. For me, there's a place up in the highlands of Scotland which I often imagine and remember, a mountain called Coolmore. And at the top, it's just such a beautiful view where stretches out forever, and it's a moment which I often picture when, and I hear the story of Elijah on the top of a mountain, hearing the voice of God in the quietness. Just imagine yourself there. Picture yourself there. Sort of try and place yourself listening, you know, imagining the sounds of that place, whatever that place was. The smells, perhaps, the sensation. This is a sort of safe space. And as you imagine yourself in that place, invite Jesus to be with you. Invite Jesus to sit beside you or stand beside you, lie beside you. And in this place of no distraction, ask God a question. Ask Jesus a question. It might be about something that you're uncertain about, anxious about. Maybe it's about difficulty and pain or disappointment that you felt. Ask him about it. Maybe it's something about him that you would like to know. Ask that question. Be free to ask that question. And then after you've asked the question, just listen. Don't try and imagine his response. Don't try and force him to say something that you would like him to say. Just stop and listen. You're not expecting necessarily to hear a voice, although some people do experience the voice of God in that way. What you're trying to pay attention to is that bit in your gut, that instinct. It's often how the Lord speaks. There's a stirring inside, a feeling in your stomach, you know, that of something that is true. It might be that you're finding yourself remembering a Bible passage or something that someone has said to you that you kind of think, yeah, that is true. Just pay attention to it. It takes time. So just wait upon the Lord in this way. Sometimes it's just the stillness that is a gift from God. He is the reason that we can pause and receive from him perspective. Depending on how much time you want to spend with that, coming out of this time of prayer is really important. And I often just, before I get up in my imagination from that place and move on and come back to life, I just take this opportunity to thank God. Thank him for speaking to me, even if I don't really know what he said. Maybe I didn't understand, maybe I didn't hear. But to thank him for speaking anyway. And to invite him to come with me back into the real world, into our everyday life, to invite this special time to be with us in our ordinary time, that God is in the ordinary. So we just invite God, be with us, Lord, as we go about our lives and entering into all the things that we need to do, the tasks, the conversations. And as we go into those places, Lord, would you continue to speak to us? Speak to us through our ordinary life. Amen. Now, you may have heard some things, or you may have felt some things, and you may have thought, oh, well, that's great. I felt those things, and that must be God. And the difficulty of hearing from God and listening to God is that sometimes it's hard to discern what is God and what is ourselves or what is other people. We can often feel like God is saying something that actually we're hearing from other people. That's why we read our Bibles. That is why we gather as a church community. That is why we sit with others and we are vulnerable and we share without fear. Because in sharing what we think we've heard from God, others can test us, can challenge that and go, I don't think God would say that. You know, that's not the Jesus that's in the Bible. That's not, I don't think God would ask you to do that and to wrestle with it. It's sometimes also the case where we think it is God and other people discern with us and go, yeah, that sounds a bit like God. And we go with it and we believe that that is true and it shapes our life, etc. And then it turns out not so well. That's absolutely fine. It's not a failure. It's not a thing of, oh, I can't do that. I'm throwing the towel. God knows it's difficult to hear him. He knows it is difficult. That's why he says you're blessed if you can see and you can hear and you can understand. Because in that way we heal and we grow in our faith. So don't be discouraged if you think you hear what God has said and then someone tells you that it's not or whatever happens. Just keep going, keep trying. And as you get well practiced at it, as you get used to hearing God's voice and knowing God's voice and giving him the time to speak, we will hear him. So let us say the prayer that Jesus taught us, encompassing all the prayers that we will probably need to offer to the Lord and the requests that we want to make to him. So let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're coming to the end of our service now. Just a few notices. I gave a notice at the beginning about this being our last online service solely for St. Peter's. At least in the foreseeable future, we're going into a time of joint mission partnership services. As I said, or maybe I didn't say, they will be available from 10:15 on Facebook page. Technically, they'll be available on YouTube on a mission partnership, S8 Mission Partnership YouTube channel from 10 o'clock. That's because the other church's services start at 10. We're going to be making them live from 10:15. And I think, as far as I'm aware, I'm going to be setting up a watch party, which means that you can continue to watch it like you've been watching these and comment on Facebook together. So even if it's just St. Peter's people gathering together to watch it in that way, then you can still have communication with one another. The same is also true if you do it on YouTube at 10 o'clock. You can watch it with the other mission partnerships as well, other mission partnership churches. So you can do that as well. There is a slight sort of caveat to us transferring our services to joint online with the mission partnership, and that is on the 18th of October in a few weeks' time. That is our annual meeting, our APCM, which will be at 10:15. It'll be in the parish centre for those who are able to join us in person. We'll be socially distant with masks, and we will also be streaming that live onto the Facebook page so that you can watch and engage in that way and maybe cast your vote through the comments section. If you would rather like to have a question or would like to contribute in another way, we're going to do it through Zoom. So if you want to access it through Zoom, we'll then be streaming the Zoom conversation onto Facebook. But if you want to engage through the Zoom conversation, then do email me. That's ned@stpeters.co, ned@stpeters.co. zoomcoaching@s.co. If you email me, I can send you the Zoom link and make that available. All the preparation for the annual meeting is now on our website, www.stpeters.co. And go to the resource section for the annual meeting. Lots of things on there that need to be done for your consideration. First of all, the annual report will now be on it from today. So you can check that, read it through. This is an update of what happened in 2019. Remember, our annual meeting is a reflection on 2019. Our annual report is just up to January 2020 or to December 2019. So won't have taken into consideration what's happened over 2020. Although I will be updating people on what's happened so far in this year and reflecting on that at the annual meeting. But the annual report is on there for you to read and to digest. And it may bring up some questions about governing and decisions that have been made. You may want to ask some questions at the annual meeting. You will have an opportunity to do that. As well, as part of the preparations, we have an electoral roll to do. An electoral roll is the closest that we get to a membership. It means that you have a voice in big decisions of the church and voting rights at the annual meeting. Electoral roll is for those who participate in the church or live in the parish of St Peter's in Greenhill and Low Edges. You need to be over 16. Last week I've been saying 18. It's actually 16. I apologise for that. You need to be over 16, or at least going to be over 16 on the 18th of October. And you either need to have worshipped regularly at St Peter's for over 6 months. That includes online, by the way. Or you live in the parish. You also need to be baptised as well. I've kind of taken that as read. You need to be a Christian. Baptised. So you need to be baptised over the age of 16, living in the parish or having worshipped in the church for 6 months. The electoral roll form is there, so do fill that in either electronically or in you print it off and sign it, post it through the letterbox of the vicarage or scan it and email it to me. Whichever way it is, and then I can put you on the electoral roll. I'll also be taking off people that I know no longer worship with us or who have died. I'll be crossing that off the electoral roll. The importance of doing an electoral roll is to make sure that we have enough people on the PCC to represent our congregation. So the numbers of people on the electoral roll shapes how many people we have, how many spaces we have available for people to represent on the PCC. So it's really important and helpful for us to know who's involved and who wants to be represented through our church decision. So the electoral roll form is on there. There is also the PCC. PCC is the representatives of the church in making decisions. It's how we discern together as a church without gathering everyone at every decision. The PCC makes those decisions for us and listens to the voices, and you can talk to the PCC, and that's how we manage the conversation, ongoing conversation. There are four spaces available this year for the on the PCC. Well, as far as we're aware, the electoral roll stays pretty much the same number, but there are four spaces available. So if you think that there is someone who you think would be really good and discerning to represent on the PCC, then please do let me know. Pray for that person, whoever it is. Ask the Lord, who, Lord, do you want to fill those four spaces? And let me know if you come up with some names, and then we can inform them of that, and they can consider that together. So again, there's forms there. Download those, sign those, and either post them through my letterbox or scan them and email them to me. As well as that, there's also nominations form for the church wardens. So if you've got someone who you think would be a great church warden, then please do nominate them. Currently, we've got two church wardens. Well, actually, we've got one church warden and a person who's been acting church warden for us for long enough now that it's essentially that she is. And that's Bess and Michelle. And they will both be nominated. But there may be someone else who you think actually, I think God is calling them to be the church warden. A church warden is there to support me in my job in overseeing and encouraging the church, and also to be a person who models good faith, good religion. Be a person who you look to and you're going to go, that's a good Christian person there. Someone who encourages others to do likewise. That makes a good churchwarden. In which case, Bess and Michelle are great examples of that. There are others, of course, as well. And you may want to nominate someone. Churchwarden form is on there as well. I think that's it for the annual meeting. That's on the 18th of October, 10:15, either in person in the Parish Centre or online. So do make a note of that. The final thing to say is about Christmas. I know looking ahead, it's so uncertain as to what Christmas is going to be like. So let me allay some of your fears. Christmas is still going to happen. We're going to still celebrate God with us in the person of Jesus Christ. And most of it is going to be online. Whether restrictions are eased or not, I just thought it'd be easier just to make a decision about it being online. We're still continuing, as far as I'm aware, having Sunday worship through Advent. So you can still join us for that. Or it's going to be online. I'm going to be leading every week in Advent, and the Mission Partnership is joining with us in our Advent sermon series, which this year we'll be looking at A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. So do look forward to that. But in terms of the special services in Christmas, the things like the Christingle service, our Contemporary Carol service, and our Midnight Communion, as well as Christmas Day service, all of those will be online. Creative things, I hope, and I hope you can join us for that. And you can encourage others, whether they live in the parish or not, to join us for those. It's a great opportunity this year, particularly where it is being made available online, to invite your friends who may live across the city or in a different part of the country, and they're saying, oh, I don't really have anything to go to for Christmas. You say, well, join me online. And see what we do and to hear the message of Christmas in hopefully a fresh and new way. Our Contemporary Carol service, obviously taking in readings from A Christmas Carol from Charles Dickens. Most people are familiar with the story, so I hope that they will be able to see Jesus in that story as well. Midnight Communion, an extravaganza of art and music and experience there, trying to translate that onto online. Our Christmas Day service will still be in person, and there will be, we think, an online service, a short act of worship for Christmas Day morning as well. But there will be an in-person worship communion service in St. Peter's on Christmas Day. I think that's it. As always, the very funny and hilarious, I say rolling my eyes, of future Ned. He may remember something on Sunday morning that I forgot to give a notice of here. He will correct me or add in anything new, or may not. He may now just be saying, no, there's nothing, Ned. I'm hilarious. Last time you have to put up with me making that joke. So there you go. So let's sing our final song, going out into the world to build God's kingdom, asking God to come by his Holy Spirit and release us to do the work of the kingdom of God.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. In us we pray, unveil why we are made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power. The sick, the poor, at peace.
Love that ending. Mike just going, yes! So, as we go out into the world, let's have a final blessing and our dismissal prayer. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all and remain with us now and always. Amen. Go into the world in peace, be of good courage, love without borders, share without fear, seek with passion and pray without ceasing. Go to love and serve the Lord. As family, we go to love, witness and grow for God's glory in our world. Have a good rest of your Sunday and peace be with you.